master tavern keeper's history of the old world. Just before we headed off into our little tangent about black orcs, we were talking about the dwarf slayer, Strolvar the Wanderer, when he was in the blasted wastes of the Darklands. We left him having killed off numerous small tribes of the nomadic goblins with his mentor. All this activity, though, in such a quiet locale, had attracted the attention of a nosy mob of black orcs.
Oh, yeah, that was it. They were in that awful-sounding desert there. And so what happened next?
Ah, well, it will be my pleasure to illuminate you, O noble knight. Skeggy, Lustria, 1553.
Before we were able to get out of the desert, we were beset by a mob of black orcs. And I know that you know what fierce fighters they are, from what you told me about your uncle's little tussle with them outside of Essen earlier. I have to say, though, in that tale, I was most pleased to hear that it was my brother Slayers from Caracadrin that had come to his aid. A toast to the hold. Once it, myself and my mentor, the demon slayer Snorri, too, received some unlikely aid in our own fight against the black orcs that we encountered in the Darklands, although it was from a far less wholesome source and had a near life-ending downside.
Please tell me more.
I will. Answer it. It all happened as we were traversing through a rock-strewn, wind-worn valley on our way into the Wolflands. We had finally finished with the desert at the blasted waste, but she'd not finished with us, and threw a great many black orcs in our direction. A last roll of the die to see if she could finally add our bones to her sands. About a dozen of them came sliding down the striated sandstone cliffs behind us, whilst the same number again stepped out from the great morass of black thorns that had sprouted in the shade beyond the valley's exit. And these were not your regular black orcs. They were bigger and clad in jagged rusty plate. They bore dowie weapons, to which they'd somehow attach sharpened scraps of steel, besmirching the blades, but in no way hampering their lethality. Once it, Snorri could easily fell many a greenskin, and I'd come a long way in a short time too, but I figured we'd met our match this time. Quantity has a quality that sometimes mere quality cannot beat. Snorri shed his belongings and raised his two axes above his head, crossing them in the ancient stance of the Dringi, glowering down the black orcs to the fore. I, too, dumped my stuff and held my axe up towards the greenskins that had come upon us at the rear. However, it was naught but the defiant, fatalistic bravery of those facing death that empowered us. For 24 black orcs is not an enemy you can expect to walk away from alive. Fortunately for us, though, the number of greenskins we were facing was about to drastically decrease. The fight began, as they oft did, with a loud bellow of rage from Snorri. Bria! You thraggy Uruk Wazaks! Come on, have a go if you think you're hard enough! And lo, come they did, drool trailing from their rabid mouths, and their blades wafting about like dogs' tails. They ran, but their charge was cut unceremoniously short. The ground beneath us suddenly began to shake and rumble as it was churned and torn up, sending the orcs tumbling over each other and spilling no small amount of greenskin blood. But their kerfuffle did not last long, as the rocky surface beneath the boots of the orcs to our fore erupted in a deluge of grit, clay, sucking mud, as well as the foulest smelling slam I've ever had the misfortune of catching a waft of. But that was not all, for at the epicenter of this chaotic, toxic deluge was an enormous gaping fanged moor lined with rows of sickle-like teeth, over and around which thin fleshy tendrils writhed. It was attached to the body of a grey serpentine creature whose girth matched its maw's breadth, and too was covered in slime. It wasted not a moment in sating its insatiable hunger, and its beady ebon eyes quickly found the largest of the black orcs, their leader as it happens, and the yawning abyss descended upon the hapless greenskin, swallowing him whole in the blink of an eye. The serpent then reeled up, bearing its semi-translucent underbelly, within which we could see the form of the orc kicking and punching as it struggled in the creature's suffocating gullet. I was transfixed, but it was Snorri's voice that dragged me back to the moment. Grimnir's beard, what are you doing, you old grumbracky? Help me kill it already! Shouted at me as he drove a wedge into the morass of fleeing orcs, hacking off limbs and heads as he went. I then did the same. Fought hard against the green current, each wading through it like a traveller fording a river. the greenskins were oblivious to us in their rout. Many a thread did we cut, killing again and again, until all that was left were we two and the serpent. Snorri stopped me outside of its striking range and fixed my gaze on him. Beardlin, do you know this beast? I shook my head vehemently. It is a Dreadmaw, one of the pets of the blood naggers of Kuresh. Avoid its mouth, strike not its slimy hide, unless you want to lose your axe. Instead, slice its belly. And with that, he gestured towards the malted clay flesh of the beast's underbelly, where I could still see, through its curtain of blue and purple vein-shot skin, beneath the mottled, rotten, red sores and festering wounds, the spasming form of the orc war boss. I nodded, and we attacked. Despite his years on me, Snorri was the first to strike. He leapt up and slashed out across its throat with his two axes, and was rewarded with a spray of caustic blood that splashed out onto the rocky ground below, followed by clawing rivulets of blood that poured down the creature's body. I dodged this mess, span with all my might, and slashed with my own axe into its abdomen, the weapon slicing deep into its left flank and exiting befouled on its right. A river of gore poured out from the wound, and a gnarly mist being doused in the stuff. We both retreated back beyond striking distance and took a look at our handiwork. The Dreadmaw was swaying back and forth as its vitae poured out of its body, the liquid forming a gelatinous pool of half-digested limbs and carcasses mixed with blood, slime, and Grimnir knows what else. We waited until suddenly it let out its last roar and collapsed like the broken stem of some dark flower. It is done! I looked at my weapon, the slime upon it, hissed and spat as it burned into the metal. That's gonna eat your whole blade away. That'd be a shame. Here. And Snorri pulled out a glass phial from his belongings on the ground, uncorked it, and poured its contents over my weapon. The slime immediately slid off and left my weapon intact. Although here, look, you can still see the damage to the blade. There, those pock marks and divots. Well-earned scars. For a warrior, or a blade for that matter, without scars is like a meal without meat or vegetables. Bland and boring. Once it. That was it. That was how I became a Maw Slayer. Off into the Wolflands it was next.
My goodness, Master Tavernkeeper, what a terrible beast. Indeed.
But there is yet more that we can say about these creatures and the land that they are from. The terrible hinterlands of Kuresh.